welcome to Bunda Vista, episode 198. Our week-long quest to replace Ben, who was lured by a hunter into a snare by leaving a book entitled Bisexual Bigfoot. None of us can reach him to cut him down, so he's going to be up there for a while. That only leaves one option, a little show we like to call The Benchula. I'm your host, Theo, and I haven't watched a single reality TV show since the first season of the Australian Big Brother. Remember Big Brother? Where we'd spend the week stripping away the privacy of the contestants, getting to know their personalities and relationships. Then at 10 p.m, they're like, yeah, all right, we know what you want. It's time for you to jack off.
It's jack off time.
It's jack off time. And that was on the same channel with the same host, Big Brother After Dark. You remember that? Where it's like, hey. Yep.
Let's check out what Hot Dogs has to say about
it. Hey, one of them's got a really big dick.
I remember there being a different host for the jack-off hour, but maybe not.
I thought it was still Gretel Colleen.
Maybe. I mean, the woman's got range. She could do it all. So, sure.
Just somberly kind of Big Brother After Dark, like shaking her head at the turkey whipping incident. Boys.
That was a national scandal.
I
recall that the Prime Minister weighed in on that. I could have that wrong, but I have a memory that that somebody asked the PM what he thought at the time.
Yeah,
and he was not for it, which is good.
There wasn't a lot going on at that time.
For any foreign listeners, there was a turkey slapping incident on our Big Brother program.
I think you're going to need to go further than that, Lucy, because I think turkey slapping is also an Australianism.
Is it? Well, yeah. Whatever Americans call hitting someone in the face with your penis.
Which is like,
maybe it's just an Australian thing.
It's it's one of those things where, like, I think at the time it was like, at the time, I feel like there was debate about it.
Yeah.
Which is so strange to me because it's quite textbook sexual assault.
Yeah.
Well, I believe the person who did it on the show described it as, quote, mucking around.
Yeah, right. And I remember that we as a nation kind of grappled with that. We were like, is it just mucking around?
Is it fine to sexually assault someone? Who can say?
What a show. What a program.
Is the issue doing it on TV? And can I also confirm the incident caused Big Brother Up Late to be canned for good?
Really?
With then Prime Minister John Howard calling for the entire show to be cancelled.
Right.
Grappling with the big issues in Australia.
At least he was on the right side of history about that.
Like, yeah, I guess so.
You win some, you lose some.
The guns
forever
and the turkey
war.
Slapping.
Yeah.
Yeah. I remember also Howard being asked about the episode of The Simpsons where they go to Australia, which was like crazy big news for us over in Australia. And I remember him being like upset about it and with some morning program like on radio saying something. And I remember thinking, this is not a great moment for our nation.
It's so weird that like currently Australia occupies the ending of the movie The Prestige, and spoiler alert to whoever cares about Christopher Nolan movies, but just where our prime ministers are just being completely, like, continually murdered and then replaced from, like, a teleport device. But John Howard was, like, he was prime minister through my entire childhood. I was in year 7 when that Australian Simpsons episode came out, because I remember being incensed because I was like this horrible little year 7 kid being like, well, actually, America has corporal punishment and we don't, so actually not funny. And then he's still fucking prime minister during Big Brother turkey slap incident. Which was like, I remember that because I was like high in someone's basement talking about it like 2 a.m. and there's like a lot of years in between those two.
Do you know what
points.
I think about John Howard, which is really unfair? When I said this on Twitter, I included Julia Gillard because he didn't want people to get angry at me. But I think she doesn't count in this, in that I think he's the last prime minister for whom being prime minister didn't ruin their life.
It just pulled the ripcord. Like, bite.
Yeah.
That's it. Gone.
You know what I mean? Like every single person. Well, I Gillard maybe not, but I kind of think so. Has had their life ruined by being the Australian Prime Minister. Every single person.
Yeah.
I wonder if that's anything to do with, like, maybe that's sort of the point where we can demarcate, like, different approaches to it, in that clearly for people like Julia Gillard and, like, even Tony Abbott and stuff like that, they're people who have had this expectation that they would continue to have some kind of public life afterwards. Like, they, you know, they would continue to be like ambassadors for things and public faces of stuff while everybody goes, fuck off. We all fucking hate you.
I think Yolanda's in some ways done that. I think she's like, of all the people, she's just been like, okay, well, I'll just do my own thing. I mean, I think it also helps, as I think former guest on the show, J.R. Hennessy, has said, it helps that Tony Abbott has no inner life.
He's just right. He just goes back to his glass tank between interviews.
I think if he does have a sort of inner monologue, it's like a Pokemon where he just says his own name over and over again.
Tony Abbott. Licking his own eyeballs.
How are you guys? It's Mother's Day.
It is Mother's Day.
It's Australian Mother's Day. I only discovered that there are at least two different Mother's Days.
America's the same. They got a different Father's Day, I think.
Are you serious?
What the fuck? I think that's right.
That doesn't seem right.
It's like how there's two kind of billions. That to me is just,
it's weird stuff.
It's one of the whenever we decide
on the billions.
It's a number. Like you can't disagree on a
number. Here.
It's a number. If it was like, oh, you know, Americans have a different nine. Like whenever I think about this, I get really incensed. Oh, by the way, I'm Ben Jenkins.
Yeah, so...
do you want to continue, Theo?
We are, of course, here with our next... And that's been the Big Brother riff. great job. Yes, and we are, of course, here with our next potential Ben Jenkins.
Hello, Ben.
Ben, the pressure is on. We need to make a decision. We need a new Ben for this week only. Then we'll be back to the old Ben because I think he'll have slimed his way out of the hunter's snare.
Yeah, he emits a kind of gooey slime when he's distressed. So I think you can rely on him being back.
Yeah, and a pheromone like those caterpillars to kind of scare away attackers.
So I'm the second Ben. I'm the second Ben you've had. Well, the third Ben, including the original Ben, the OG Ben.
Yeah.
Are we just going to prestige this? Like, are there going to be just rows of tanks of former Ben on this podcast host?
No, I think we kept the original Ben, and you're sort of like Ben MK2 and MK3 in the tanks at the end of Alien Resurrection.
Is it possible that this could end with me not in a tank? Is that something that I can request?
This will end with you kind of moaning, kill me, and then we'll put you out of your misery with a gigantic flamethrower or whatever it is.
That's nice.
Yeah.
Well, you know,
it is nice. I do want that for you.
My wife has her Mother's Day presents. Like, that's fine.
That's done. Sorted.
And when we're done with the flamethrower, what's left? Straighten the tank.
Yeah, it's
straighten the
good,
tank.
Good.
We'll put the remnants back in there. No, you may come out of this alive. But how do you feel about being able to talk about Bigfoot's asshole, read a bunch of shipping reports without making any jokes, and also being the legal representative of our continuously defamatory podcast?
All of this sounds terrific.
Okay. Well, we'll see how it goes.
I'd love to do that, plus tank.
Mm-hmm.
You guys had Ben Russell before, who people often confuse us because we're both Bens in comedy who are short and kind of look the same, I think.
Yeah.
I think we look similar.
It is nice that you guys, one grew a mustache and one didn't. That was a completely conscious decision to discern the two of you.
Theo, if I wanted to grow a mustache, I could do it overnight.
Yeah, me.
You know, that's the important thing.
I have to admit, when I had seen a few sketches with Ben Russell in them not too long ago, and I thought, oh, has Ben Jenkins grown a moustache? and earlier this week, Ben said, I have booked two Bens for the show, Ben Jenkins and Ben Russell. And I looked at a photo of Ben Russell and I went, wait a minute.
That's a different
wait
guy.
Wait a minute.
Yeah, you're like, holy shit, this is going to be on the exam. I'm going to fuck this.
Yeah.
This has happened before, but in a really great way, where there's this, I won't name them, but there's this quite unhinged comedian who I've had very few dealings with on Twitter, but like once, I think he was going Naz over like something for being Muslim. And I kind of jumped in and was like, shut the fuck up or something. I can't remember what it was. But like, he was like, I think it was one of those like horrible things where like there had been a terrorist attack and this comedian was just like, what do you think about that, Naz? And it was like, I imagine he's not thrilled about this. Like it was, anyway, it was really bad. So I told him to get fucked. But that's like the only interaction that we've had. And then one night Ben Russell was at the Comedy Festival Club having a lovely beer, and this comic came up and tried to fist fight him. Yes, I thought he was me. It really escalated, like, to the point where, like, Ben was like, I'm going to have to fight this guy. And then he was like, no, wait. Because he said something about, like, oh, you're fucking on there on Twitter all the time. And Ben Russell was like, I'm not really on Twitter. Oh, fuck, I know what's happened. And they parted ways, like, relatively amicably.
Yeah, he's like, God. You want that guy.
Exactly. I was safely in Sydney.
That happened to me once as a teen. I was out on the town with me mates.
Uh-huh.
And we were in some, like, nightclub, and this guy has come up to me and gone, right, you're fucked. And I went, huh? And he was, like, with a group of guys, and uh-huh. they all looked very intent on doing violence to me.
Sure.
And then my friends saw this and also came over and immediately started sizing these guys up.
Uh-huh.
And I went, just 1 second. What's going on? And the guy went,
what's the deal?
Yeah. And he went, you've been fucking with our friend, Bruce. And I said, am I Bruce or is the other guy Bruce? I'm not Bruce. I don't know a single person in the world called Bruce.
The shark in Finding Nemo was called Bruce.
Yep.
Could they have been referring to the shark from Finding Nemo?
Maybe. I don't think the movie was out then, so probably not. And I asked for clarification, and we quickly came to the understanding that I was not the person
uh-huh.
that this guy thought I was. And he said to his friends, oh, it's okay. It's the wrong guy.
And they just bought it off?
And we all just went off and about yeah. our evenings.
Because the danger is that when they get when they anger up the blood, they have to fight somebody.
Yeah, you know what I mean? Yeah. Well, fortunately, it wasn't me.
You're strange. Why? You all have strange behaviors.
Well, Andrew reset the karmic scales of this, of course, because recently his wife said, that guy with the hat on over there is hitting on me or whatever.
Yes.
And Andrew just went straight up to him and fucking slapped him. And it was the wrong guy.
It was the wrong guy.
Oh, my God.
That was terrible.
Anyway, we can't go into that again because it's 12 minutes and we haven't got to the same article. I'm also here with Lucy and she's holding her golden rose or whatever.
Whatever the classic
it is.
Golden rose on the bachelor.
Will she offer it to the single contestant?
I'm confused on the rules of this program.
Look, it's real clear to me, but we don't have time to go over them. Lucy, what do you need from a replacement Ben McClay? What really would seal the deal for replacing our dear boy Ben?
I'm just more into quantity over quality, you know. Sure. More Bens. More Bens is what I'm after.
Okay. We need to organize an all Ben episode
I probably have less mass than Ben McClay. So
certainly
sorry.
Have less beard and less hair.
Yeah. So pound for pound I'm the lesser Ben.
But more concentrated. Concentrated Ben.
Yeah.
It sounds like what we're all looking for is more of a multiplicity kind of situation.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah, as many Bens as possible.
Yeah, we'll get Ben Russell, dear boy Ben McClay, and Ben Williams, who apparently won the first season of Big Brother.
What?
Perfect.
Yeah.
Get him on.
Get him on. Okay. Whoever he is now.
If you can book him.
If we can book him. Don't know if we can afford the fee. Yeah. And finally, of course, is Andrew sitting facing away from us in his massive swivel chair, which is very rude. Andrew, what would make you turn your chair around for bed? And keeping in mind, this is an audio medium, so it doesn't really matter.
Are we mixing this up with, like, the X Factor at this point?
This is clear in my mind.
It's the Benchula.
At some point, I am going to turn around and announce the special ingredient of the episode.
Yes, that's right, with tears running down your face.
Did I tell you guys that I've worked in reality before? I've worked on two reality shows. It was when Moses was just born. He was like a newborn, and
that's a perfect combination for great mental health.
Yeah, absolutely.
Yeah, well, we needed work. Like, we needed money because Anya wasn't working.
Babies are fucking expensive.
Oh man, they like rubies and gold and yeah. I've worked on two of them, and I don't think I could do it full time because I think it would destroy my mind. But they're super interesting. The people who produce reality are, like, really smart in an incredibly specific way. It's like, trying to think of an analogy where it's like, it's some, imagine someone who's like the best in the world at like darts or something. Like, it's just they've min-maxed.
Phil Taylor.
They've like min-maxed their skill sheet to like, anyway, they're really smart in a really specific way, and they're experts in human frailty is what I discovered.
Oh,
that's upsetting.
That's a skill you want to have.
Yeah, it's really interesting. Anyway, so
that's the workplace. That's the workplace. Why do they call it reality TV when it's all fake? That's
goodness.
They should call it unreality TV.
They should, you know. They should.
So that's right. Only 15 minutes in, and we have managed to introduce Ben Jenkins from
that's
Freedom
right.
of a Good
have
Home.
Better, have a better thing to do on Mother's Day.
On Mother's Day.
Not on Mother's Day. Let me say the name of his podcast, Theo. Freedom of a Good Home. Freedom of a Good Home.
Freedom of a Good Home. Talking.
That is the name of my podcast. That is the name of the podcast that I do, not the one that you do.
That is terribly true. seeing as you are sitting in on this edition of The Benchler to see how you go on our regular segments,
yeah.
Let's start you off with an edition of Scam Watch.
Warning, warning. Someone has successfully or unsuccessfully attempted a scam and must be judged. This is Scam Watch.
Hey, it's Scam Watch. That's where we check out some scams, and then we grade the scams. Let me please explain the grading system to you, Ben.
Please.
So we have kind of three sliders, maybe on a 0 to 10 Likert scale kind of thing, you know?
Sure.
So the first is, who's the victim of the scam? Is it a victimless scam, like, say, you're just stealing from an insurance company?
Yeah.
Uh-huh,
uh-huh. Or is there very clearly a victim that shouldn't be the victim? Then there's like how original the concept is and like how bold you have to be to attempt it.
Mm-hmm.
And finally, there was the execution. This is a third criteria that we've added recently. How successful you were in attempting to do this thing.
Okay.
So I was doing my trawling for scams recently and was thinking, who are the kind of people who would fall for scams? And luckily, there's a new word going around town, and that word is crypto.
Oh, yes.
Do you own any crypto, Ben?
I own zero crypto.
Beautiful. That is a requirement for being
on. If you gave me a day, a whole day, and said you don't have to do anything but attain cryptocurrency, just like one cryptocurrency, I would not be able to do it, I don't think, with a whole day.
Wouldn't even know where to start.
Wouldn't know where to start.
Well, this guy knew where to start. So this is from the ABC. When Jonathan, his name has been changed due to, I assume, being very embarrassed. When Jonathan stumbled across an Instagram account flaunting huge profits from cryptocurrency, he thought he'd struck a gold mine.
Oh, Jonathan, you fool.
quote, I ended up messaging the person and then she went on this long spiel about Bitcoin mining and how it's really profitable. The 23-year-old said. He's 23.
No doubt she's like a hot lady picked up.
Tell me more. The strategy, he was told, could produce eye-watering returns of 50% per month.
That's a good return, guys.
That is a good return.
Yeah.
I was reading a different article about one of these scams and it was talking about like the math of when people are... Now, I'm not going to get into the math, Theo. But the math of when somebody's promising, like, this level of return. They were talking about how, like, if you put, you know, $5 into it, then it would be several $1 billion, like, within 6 years.
And that's good money.
That's good money,
guys. Think of all the stuff you could buy for $1 billion.
He was initially skeptical. So, in late 2017, he sent... He sent $50 in Bitcoin as a test. A month later...
Good instincts, Jonathan.
He was sent back his $50 along with another $30 of so-called profit.
That's over 50%.
It is.
Now, yeah, when you get back that $30, you immediately think to yourself, that's it. I'm all in.
Yeah.
Yep.
So he sent hundreds of dollars, then thousands.
Uh-huh.
Then he started telling friends and family who sent even more money. Quote, one of my best mates sold his car for $10,000 and put all that money in and it disappeared, Jonathan said. Oh, boy.
Whoopsie.
I put a few $1,000s in myself and one of my other mates put in about $5,000. When the scammer had all our money at the same time, that's when she disappeared.
That's good timing from the scam, I have to say. That's,
that is good timing.
Yeah, when you have all the money, that's when you go. You can't go earlier.
No.
Because then you have none of the money. So she's played it well.
You can't give him back his $50, give him $30 of your money, and then cut and run. That's no, not that's, a good scam.
This is scamming 101, people.
So execution wise, we're really hitting a 100 here. 1,000?
Home run.
Yeah, in terms of how she's, I mean, I don't know if this is the end of the scam, but in terms of how she's pulled this off, because also, I don't know, it sounds to me like she didn't even have to say, like, tell your friends. Like, it seems to be
she
stumbled upon, like, the most perfect rube.
Yeah.
Who, like, actually started scamming on her behalf.
And he's just immediately gone, like, fired up WhatsApp, made a group, and gone, hey, you guys, you won't believe this, but there's a wallet inspector.
Yeah. Name the group chat, the Future Billionaires Club. In terms of execution, that is good return on $30. That's more than 50% return on her $30.
That's true. So, she is making great returns. She just wasn't quite clear about where it was going.
Yeah.
That's all. Mm-hmm. But on that note, it says...
But he might get the money back, right, Andrew?
Well, let's see.
Mm.
All up, Jonathan and his friends lost more than $20,000 to the scam.
Fuck. And that's what one guy did half of that too.
Mm. It's caused immense stress and embarrassment, and some of his friends still don't talk to him.
Yeah, I mean, also, you don't have to tell the news about this, man. Like,
no.
Yeah, you don't have to.
This is my favorite thing about any scam that is in the news is the part where somebody has gone to the news to tell them about this crazy thing that's happened to them because they think that everyone else would do the same thing.
Yeah, and then everyone's like, you're an idiot. Yeah.
Listen, I'm a fucking moron. And they're like, go on.
If I can just prevent one fucking moron from doing what I did. Yeah, that's sad. Or maybe it's like he's trying to own it, like get it off his chest, like feel
maybe
better, empower
so
himself.
His friends will like him again. To be fair, that's their fault too, though. You know, can't blame him.
My therapist told me something that was like genuinely mind-blowing recently where like I was telling her, I was like, I think I like feel like I need to tell people everything because if I don't, I think it's like shameful if I'm not telling people stuff. Hmm. And she was like, did you know that there is a difference between something being private and something being shameful? And I was like, oh my God. It was like, things can just be private, dude.
A weight lifts off your shoulders. Yeah. Finally, masturbation has become fun again.
I really feel like, I feel like there will be at least one listener to your podcast who will be like, oh my God. But maybe this is actually the fucking moron thing again.
We've talked about this, though, before on these scams where a guy was like, you know, I think it was the classic, like, a high five fell off the back of a van kind of scam or whatever. And this guy went immediately to, like you said, like he's immediately gone to the news and was like, hey, if I can save one person from falling for this incredibly fucking obvious scam.
Yeah.
Like,
that might have been the guy who got pulled over in traffic by a stranger who said, I'm a fashion designer
and
I have all of these fancy leather jackets that I have to get rid of
That's
today.
Right.
Given you guys have a regular Scam Watch segment, I wonder if this has come up before, but I heard something really interesting about the Nigerian scams once, because I used to work on a show that had a scammy sort of section on it. We didn't scam people. We told people about scams and how to avoid them. So I did a lot of kind of scam research, and I found this really interesting thing especially about the Nigerian scams, where when you see a scam and you're like, fucking hell, this is so obvious in its scamminess, a lot of the time that's a feature, not a bug. Because because it's a kind of auto filter, in that you only get the dumbest people and you don't waste your time with anybody who's going to like not deliver at the end. Because scams are kind of labor intensive. You have to kind of nurture them like a garden, and you don't want to do all that work before somebody's like, wait a minute, there's no wallet inspector. So like it's deliberately shit to only select the most credulous rubes available.
Mm.
Now that does sound like a good program, Ben. If listeners want to check that out, what frequency do they set their UHF antenna to?
Fuck off. You can get it on wax cylinders.
This guy does actually go into the aspect that you were talking about earlier, which was, he says, like, yeah, I felt bad afterwards because I basically became a recruiter.
Yeah.
For this lady, I went out and I like told all my friends about it and told them how great it was. He made a testimonial video for her.
Oh, shit.
It says, for victims like Jonathan, it's almost impossible to get money back. When I went to the police, they basically said, you've only lost $20,000. We know people who've lost millions, they said.
Thanks.
Classic police.
That is. And we're definitely going to do something about
it. We're going to think about that. We'll get back to you.
I just, it's such a, like, standard feature of the police to say, so someone stole $20,000 from you and...
And I'm taking this down on my invisible typewriter.
Yeah. Yep. Yep.
Fuck.
But it is, I mean, like, he can't get the money back. It's impossible. Like, you know, the one thing that we used to be able to tell people is, like, you can do a chargeback sometimes, but, like, that's why scammers don't use PayPal.
I was I was reading this week about multiple people who have been scammed in the process of buying a Tesla. Has anybody else heard about this?
No.
No.
So
victimless crime.
Great target.
There's a few people in this story from the ABC, and they're talking about how they bought a Tesla. And
they're like $100,000, aren't they?
More than that.
Right.
They've bought a Tesla and they have to like order them online because they don't have showrooms everywhere, you know, and there's a big backlog of people waiting to buy them. And so these people have been finally have been told, hey, your car's come in. And what Tesla does is they send you like a PDF invoice in your email and say, pay for this car now.
Uh-huh.
So you're supposed to take those bank details and just bank transfer like $130,000 to Tesla. And so what happens with this form of scam is
it's a good one.
Somebody intercepts the email, changes the banking details and just sends it on. And you get an email from Tesla with your invoice that says pay this thing, and you just drop this money straight into someone else's bank account. And then when you tell Tesla about it, they say, yeah.
They might send you a funny meme.
What they money? Say, well, yeah.
I think also, like, in terms of, like, that kind of self-selecting thing that we were talking about before, have you noticed that, like, a lot of Twitter scams for, like, directed at people doing crypto stuff is, like, very clearly directed at Elon Musk fans?
Yes.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because they are the most credulous rubes on the planet. Like, scammers have clearly worked out, these are the dumbest people because they like Elon Musk. And they swallow... Sorry.
What fertile grounds? Exactly. Grounds.
And I wonder. What I mean, I don't think grounds, like, Tesla drivers are the same as Elon Musk freaks, but like, there's obviously crossover there.
Yeah. Yeah. Absolutely.
Is he hosting SNL as we speak, guys? Could I be watching Elon Musk on SNL instead of talking to you, chuckle fucks?
So, something really funny for once.
Because that's going to be epic bacon, you guys.
Yeah.
So, I don't know if this guy was attempting to trade Dogecoin on Instagram, but he says, in hindsight, Jonathan admits that there were red flags.
Sure.
Yep. But while the profits were flowing in, he couldn't bring himself to believe he was being duped. What, is that the $30?
No, I assume they go... So, with... I mean, Ben probably knows more about this than me, but with your classic kind of Ponzi scam, it starts off as you know, big returns on small investments, and then they'll kind of start trickling the returns from the big investments, and then they'll start getting later and later as the kind of bottom layer starts to dry up. There's a lot of carrot and stick going on here. Sort of
that this guy got more than $30 before he started recruiting his friends and making testimonial videos. Like you got to assume that there were some more returns. You're right, Theo. Hey, is there a way? This sounds like I'm running a Ponzi scheme, but. Is there a way that anybody can, like, stick the landing on a Ponzi scheme? Because to me, it just seems like you just do it and then you go to jail. Like, it doesn't seem like there's any way to extricate yourself from it. Like,
you have to cut, you have to cut and run. You have to be able to, and the problem is, I think a lot of people don't go into it. Like, you take the classic Ponzi scheme, the Bernie Madoff, right? He didn't necessarily go into it with the concept of constructing a Ponzi scheme, whereas now he kind of
started just being like, oh, I'll pay out some stuff from the investments because it's like
if you gave Gil like tens of billions of dollars, right, to invest. And poor old Gil's just doing his best, right? Like, and people are like, I want my returns. It's like, oh, well, you know, where am I going to find this money? And then eventually, you know, you go to jail, like you said. But
have you guys read The Glass Hotel?
No.
It's Emily St. John's new book, and it is so good. And it's she's the person who wrote Station 11. And it's all about a big part of it is about a Ponzi scheme, and that's reading that book made me understand what Ponzi schemes are and how simple they are. It's literally just you give someone money and they keep it. Like, that's honestly what it is.
Yeah, it's so good. It's the old like just, well, I've got some numbers there and I want them to be over there, so I'm just gonna kind of
It's great.
I do have another example in here of a Ponzi scheme with not enough layers.
Oh yes.
let's move forward to that one. So, but closing out, Jonathan says there were some red flags. For example, at one point while using a web service to transfer his cash to Bitcoin, Jonathan got a phone call querying why he was raising his daily limit.
Yeah. Hey, Jonathan, you sound like a real idiot.
Hey, you're being scammed over there.
Quote, I was talking about it with the guy there, and he was trying to convince me it was a scam.
That is a red flag. That is a red flag.
When the bank calls you and says you are currently being scammed, and you say, you don't understand.
You don't know what you're talking about.
Mid-scam right now.
I would know if I was being scammed by a lady on Instagram that's getting me to sell Bitcoin.
Hey, you guys, I just realized somebody tried to scam me yesterday.
Oh.
Do you want to rate this scam and maybe tell me like what you think's going on here? Because I can't work out what their angle is. So I got a message from just a random mobile phone number, and it says your order, and then it has an order number, and then it says amount $3,969 for a Canon EOS R6 camera at Amazon was successful. Contact us on this number, which is a What's 08? Is 08 Perth?
08 is Adelaide.
Adelaide. It's an Adelaide number for dispute. So obviously it's like trying to make me think that somebody's using my account. What do you think happens when I call that number?
I think it would be that someone would get on the phone and say, oh, yeah, okay, what, you didn't buy the $3,000 camera? Well, that's been charged to your card. We just need all your financial institution details, and we'll sort it right out for you.
Exactly, I think boomers would fall for that one.
Oh, it's a good one.
I got a text message the other day that was like, hey, your delivery has been received or is en route or whatever. From this courier service, here's the tracking.
Yeah, I got this one, yep.
Uh-huh. And I was like, I don't remember ordering anything. And you follow the tracking number, and it goes to a website that looks for all the world like a...
It looks really good. It's a DHL one.
Yeah, DHL tracking service and everything. Yeah. And it says, yep, we've got this package, and it just has a package number. It doesn't have any details about it. We've got your package here and everything. What do you want to do with it? We can leave it at we can send it to a depot for you to pick up, or you can just pay $3 to have it couriered to you.
It's a great scam because it's not greedy.
They're just getting $3.
That is so funny because I just realized that's happened to me. I didn't realize I was being scammed, but I was just like, ah, oh, fuck it, I don't care about this package. So I just was like, there's just going to be a package sitting somewhere, I don't care what it is.
Too hard. Too hard. That's your problem now.
I definitely thought to myself, because I don't order enough shit online to be like, what package? Yeah. I just immediately like searched Google for the tracking code and it was like, nothing. And then I Googled text message delivery and it auto-completed to scam.
Yeah.
Okay. How about this one, though? I like this one. So this is from chroniclelive.co.uk. Mm-hmm. Experts are warning of a new scam, which might be hard to spot, even for the more wary. That's because it works by warning people that they have been the victim of a scam. Beautiful. Scamception. It uses the branding of the Chartered Trading Standards Institute, who have recently been warning people of frauds, with many of their warnings reported on by publications, including Chronicle Live.
Mm-hmm.
The organization says a phony letter bearing CTSI branding informs the recipient that insurance scammers have been caught and that the recipient should fill in a creditor's debt form as part of a bogus compensation scheme. So I think this is in the same realm as what you were just describing.
Yeah.
You tell someone that they've been ripped off and you're going to give their money back to them.
That's smart.
I think that's smart.
In terms of originality, I'm giving that like an 8 or a 9. To return to the... Can I score the first one, or do we do that later?
No, no. Let's score the first one.
Okay. In terms of execution, 10 yep. out of 10. Like, you 10, could not 10 out of 10. Could not have done it better.
Got off clean.
In terms of the victim, I do feel for him, but I feel like he had a lot of opportunity to pull up.
I think when you have been phoned by the bank to be informed that you are being scammed, and you willingly say to the news afterwards, well, I was just too greedy for those crypto dollars.
Yeah, yeah.
To see.
So I don't know what that does to his score.
I think, like to me, it's sort of, I don't know. I tend to think that, like, if you just sort of got $5,000 that you can bear to part with.
That's true. And if he had like a more complicated story, I think he would have told the news that, because you know, you go into damage control. In terms of originality, it gets a big fat one from me, because it's one of the oldest scams out there. It's just got crypto.
Yeah. It's just crypto Ponzi scheme. Crypto, exactly. Crypto chain letter. Send a dollar. Exactly. Send a dollar to a smiling, happy dude.
So that would be my score of this scam on Scamwatch.
Okay. Unfortunately for the second one, we don't have any examples of people who have been stung by this one. So we can't really say anything about the execution. And also, I think it's definitely one that has the potential to be more likely to scam old people out of their retirement money and that kind of thing.
That's true. That's true, because that's what always used to make me upset on the checkout. Like, because people would get in contact with us and saying, like, can you cover this scam because I got scammed? It was almost always old people, and it was almost always, like, much more than they could afford. That's why I don't really care about Bitcoin scams, because I feel like that's young people, and it's young, terrible people. Yeah. Like, almost by default. So
I feel like they're learning a valuable lesson.
I think so.
Do you guys own any crypto?
No.
I had some Dogecoin, and then I sold it. Uh-huh. And I don't want to talk about that.
Yeah.
You got off the rocket. So, final scam of the day. This is from news.com.au. Ex-footy player Nick Stevens accused of swimming pool scam.
Love this.
All right.
So I was reading about this earlier in the week, and I asked about it online to ask people, like, what are you picturing when I say swimming pool fraud?
Yeah.
Most people, like, I think the most popular response was some variation of the Roadrunner, like, painting a pool onto the ground. Sure. So what do you think of when I say swimming pool scam, Ben?
Great, great question. It probably has something to do with saying he's going to build you a swimming pool and then not doing that. That is the simplest version of that scam. Right? So,
well...
Yeah.
So, 10 civilian witnesses will be called to give evidence in the case against former Port Adelaide AFL star Nick Stevens, who was accused of a swimming pool scam.
Uh-huh.
His case was briefly heard in the Mildura Magistrates Court on Tuesday in a hearing to set dates for a committal process to test the evidence against him. The former Port and Carlton player is facing 7 charges, including 5 of dishonestly obtaining financial advantage.
Okay.
So, reading a bit further into this... on splashmagazine.com.au, which is my go-to source.
Is that all news swimming pool?
Pool and spa news.
That's great. So when there's a new kind of like pool skimmer that comes out, that's where it drops.
Oh, what kind of jets you got on that bad boy, you know? So they said that former AFL player Nick Stevens has been charged with a number of offences related to his Mildura-based swimming pool business. Last year, the VBA led an investigation into allegations his business, Leisure Pools Mildura, installed swimming pools without permits and failed to complete work. The allegations included accusations of deception and reports that several customers who paid deposits had been left with incomplete pools, as well as debts outstanding to suppliers.
I think this is very generous to call this a scam.
Me too.
Like, it's just
bad at his job.
It's just fucking sucking at building swimming pools. Like, that's not a scam.
Which I sympathize with. Like, I've never completed a thing in my life. But the concept of, like, absolutely not. Like, the concept of, like, digging a big hole and finishing it and doing it to, like, a timeline. That sounds like a lot of stress.
I think it's like, I don't claim to know much about this man other than that I don't think he's qualified to build swimming pools. He's a former Port Adelaide player. But I do sympathize with somebody being like, well, how fucking hard can it be? Like, put a hole in the ground, you know what I mean? Like, I like the idea of this guy learning over the course of, like, several years that there's actually a lot to it in terms of building swimming pools. Oh, no.
I think he tried to turn Sean Astin's character from Encino Man into a business model, and it did not work out.
That is such a deep cut.
That's rough.
We just watched that with our kids recently.
Does it hold
up?
Seen
it.
They were like, "Look at this handsome caveman." Hey, that's George of the Jungle. They said.
Mm-hmm.
It does. Other than Sean Astin's character being like completely irredeemable throughout the movie.
Okay.
He's got big hater energy.
Okay.
He does. Yeah.
He does. He hates on everybody who is like cooler and more popular than
him.
Does
he hate on Encino Man himself?
He does. Because Link the Caveman is swaggy. He's everybody loves him. He's very popular, and just for the simple crime of being himself.
Did you guys read that incredible Brendan Fraser interview?
Yeah.
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 It has like my favorite moment in any profile of someone where he just stands up in the middle of talking about something really difficult and goes, "If you'll excuse me, I've just got to let some arrows fly." Yes. And then he walks out of the room, picks up a bow and arrow and just fires some arrows off into the woods.
Beautiful.
It's unbelievable. It's so good.
What a wonderful man.
What a wonderful man.
Sweet angel.
I don't think we deserved Brendan Fraser. Nah.
So, I saw some photos from this of people who had been stung with this guy, and they have the Encino Man pool in their backyard. He has basically like rented a digger or whatever, dug a hole.
Yeah.
And then just not done anything else, and also...
Well, rain's going to fill that up, so I mean, job done. Like,
and I assume that he has also just like not paid the bill for renting the digger either.
Well, that sounds like, it sounds like he owes some contractors money.
So the ABC reports that Stevens has been charged with 5 counts of dishonestly obtaining a financial advantage, totaling more than $144,000 between June and November 2017. That's
he got it done quickly, yeah.
It's a lot of money to reel in a couple of short months there.
That's a lot of pools to half build in a few months.
I want you guys to hold in your mind the image of what you think former footballer turned pool scam artist is. And then I want you to Google Nick Stevens.
Yeah.
And I think you will find that...
spot on.
It's absolutely spot on.
Oh.
Oh, and apparently the main other thing that this guy is known for, besides AFL and pool scams, is domestic violence. So no one has to feel bad for him.
Oh,
no one has to feel bad for him at all. No.
Yep. It is alleged that Stevens accepted $3,300 from each victim on the pretense of installing a functioning swimming pool before later collecting much larger sums of between $24,000 and $30,000. So
he said he'd do it for $3,000? Is that...
No. I assume that he was saying that he would put pools in for people for like $30,000. And he was taking a deposit, starting the work and saying, oh, I need the rest of that money. And then when he gets the rest of the money, he's like, fucking done.
Is that how much a pool costs?
Pools cost a fucking wild amount of money.
Fuck, I feel so bad. Like, I remember when we were kids just like bugging my parents. I want a pool. And then they did a pool. And then we never fucking used it.
I got a 7-year-old and she's just like, when are we getting a pool? When are we getting a pool? And I'm like, we live in Canberra.
Yeah, when are you going to use that?
Can't use a pool like 9 months a month. A year.
3 days a year.
Yeah.
You sound crazy right now.
Do you know how crazy you sound right now, Maeve?
we've lived next to people with pools and it's just like you spend most of the year. We grew up next to somebody with a pool and you spend like most of the year with it either covered up or getting
filthy.
Moldy.
Yeah.
And
disgusting.
Full of shit. And
I remember pulling frogs, dead frogs out of the filter in our pool. Possibly one of the reasons why I didn't really use it very much.
Maybe.
What did Maeve get your partner for Mother's Day?
So they went to there was like a Mother's Day stall at the school fair.
Oh, I remember that. Yeah.
She has...
I don't remember her school. I wasn't there, but I remember when I was there and at school.
So she has bought... Well, hopefully she can't hear because she hasn't received it yet. Some kind of like very, very gaudy like China mug with a coaster.
Love that. Mm-hmm. Love that.
Very floral pattern kind of thing. And a plastic rose in a tube.
That's beautiful.
That's lovely.
Whereas I would say that Finn has not gotten a fucking thing for
Caitlin.
How old's Finn?
He is 7 months
old. Oh, well, that's no excuse. Moses got Anya some lovely La Crusade things. He got her what is called a salt pig, which I didn't... I called one of Anya's friends. I was like, what should I get Anya for Mother's Day? She said, get her a salt pig.
Easy, salt pig.
Easy. I'll just be Googling that immediately. A salt pig, you guys, is a little container that salt goes in.
Yeah.
And you keep it next to the oven or the stove and you use it to season. It's a salt holder, guys. It's a salt holder.
It holds salt. Okay.
It holds salt.
Salt hole. Salt hole. I guess basically a pool scam is just to tell someone that you will build a pool and then take the money and...
It's ingenious.
Pretty boring. Don't like the scam.
In terms of execution, though, like, yeah, he's in trouble, but until he wasn't, you got to hand it to him. He scammed a lot of people out of pool money.
I think he is missing that layer of anonymity that the Instagram crypto scammer gets by being a well-known local celebrity.
Yes.
That's true.
An idiot.
That is true. It's harder to cut and run when you used to play for Port Adelaide.
Yes, scamming people in your local neighborhood.
Very foolish.
They're probably going to be able to get
0 out of 10.
Moving on from there. We received a message from our patron Sakari, who said, "Hey, I thought you might enjoy this news," and they were right. We're going to look at a few pranks here, and in many ways, a prank is a scam of the heart.
Absolutely,
it's a scam of emotions.
Yeah,
you know,
what is a scam but a prank continuing?
Going
professional.
It's a financial prank, yeah. So he said, they sent in this article, Iraq bans terror prank TV shows.
Excuse me?
Probably a good wise move. Wise
Pardon?
Move.
This is from the BBC, right?
Okay.
Two Iraqi TV shows that sparked outrage by pranking celebrities with fake suicide vests and staged kidnappings have been suspended.
I love this.
Oh my god. I'm just picturing like an Iraqi version of like Ashton Kutcher.
But if Ashton Kutcher was like doing a fake 9/11 on like Tom Cruise.
Funny story, the first episode of Punk'd that they did, it had a different name initially. But one of the first things they did on the first episode was a prank that involved like a fake dead body in a hotel room.
Yeah.
And the people that they did it to said, "Hey, you've like done some fucked up trauma to us and we are suing you." And they said, "Let's change this show and make it about celebrities instead."
That's smart.
That is smart.
Yeah. Now, you know how that show is called Punk'd.
Yeah. Mm.
Well, these TV shows are called Tony's Bullet and Razlan's Shooting.
Both great names. Both great names for what sounds like a lot of fun.
Nothing like a bit of fun. In one episode of Razlan's Shooting, an actress passed out in fear after having fake explosives strapped to her.
Oh my god. Who is this for?
Well, hold on. I would say if you are kidnapping people, like they say that one of them was a fake kidnapping. If you're kidnapping people, I'm assuming you're grabbing them and taking them somewhere against their will. In what way is that a fake kidnapping?
You've done a kidnapping.
Like, that's just what that is.
A kidnapping can be both staged and real.
Yeah.
Yeah.
It's like jokes on you. We're doing this for a different reason. It's like, well, I don't care.
Which reminds me of this this British news story I saw the other day. I think it was British, where this guy was robbing a bank in Balaclava, right? And he's like, you know, all the money in the bag or whatever. And the bank teller recognized his voice.
Oh.
And he's like, "Nah, I was just joking, eh?"
It was just
the direct quote from the story was that he pulled off his balaclava and said, "I was just messing."
Just messing.
I was having a laugh.
England, get it
right
together.
Pisser.
Get it together, Great Britain.
I'm just imagining doing a staged kidnapping and someone being upset afterwards and being like, "Hey, when it comes to comedy, intent matters, you know." Viewers criticized the shows as cruel and tone deaf,
Yeah, really, really feels like this kidnapping is really punching down.
Viewers criticized the shows as cruel and tone deaf, given the constant threat of militant violence in Iraq.
Sure, seems reasonable.
Yeah.
Another episode of Razlan's shooting showed Iraqi international footballer Alam Wahi blindfolded and begging for his life.
Wow.
Jesus. That's just good comedy.
All right, so... So, Ben, imagine that you're working on this show. It's not going great, and you're asked for comment. Here's something that you could say. Mm-hmm. Responding to criticism last month, one of the show's writers, Dagem Abu Ghif, said, "The scenes are harsh, but if Islamic State had won, artists would have had a far harder life."
Do you know, I think I'm just going to use that as my like kind of boilerplate response for any criticism that I get for anything I make.
Oh, did the terrorists win? Huh? Oh, I see.
Wow, guys.
So this sent me down like a slight hole here.
Mm-hmm.
So here's another article from 2017, which is about like where this sort of started, right?
Sure.
Generally associated with Ramadan, TV has become an important part of the Islamic holy month, and broadcasters will often commission special programs to draw audiences in as they break their fast in the evening. Prank TV shows have risen in popularity, but have also earned criticism in recent years for taking things too far.
Sure.
Mm-hmm.
Egyptian actor Ramez Galal has established himself as a major TV prankster with a series of programs featuring celebrities in increasingly extreme scenarios. In one edition, he fooled celebrities into believing they were on a sinking ship surrounded by floating body parts and an approaching shark.
Now that's funny.
That is funny. That is a funny joke to do to somebody.
I appreciate the dedication to craft.
Does it say where they actually were? Like,
no.
How they pulled off this?
That's a lot of production.
Yeah. They weren't like on a Universal Studios tour.
Yeah, exactly.
In another, victims were locked inside a supposed ancient Egyptian tomb containing bats, insects, and a mummy rising from the dead.
That also sounds very cool.
I would love to prank a celebrity with a mummy.
So I think those are like slightly more okay so far. But in 2013, during a program entitled Ramez, the Fox of the Desert, great name. I'm right into that name. Guest celebrities were fooled into believing that the bus they were traveling on had been intercepted by militants.
Less fun.
The mock militants pretended to shoot the driver dead.
Jesus Christ.
Jesus.
And then blindfolded and handcuffed the guests.
This is like that Michael Douglas movie, The Game. But it's a reality show, which I kind of love. Yeah.
This was aired at a time when Egypt was witnessing a surge in terror attacks.
Context matters.
Sure does.
Yeah.
Oh, just Daryl Summers saying, oh, you couldn't get away with that these days.
Yeah. Cancel culture's made shows where you kidnap a bus of celebrities. Unfortunately, impossible.
Yeah, you just won't see on TV anymore pluck a duck strapping a child to a conveyor belt heading for a furnace. They're just not going to be able to get away with it due to political correctness.
Can I tell you, I went back and watched some Hey Hey recently because of that whole controversy. Somebody posted like a big thread of it online.
Mm.
And I watched a fair bit of it. And what really struck me wasn't how offensive it was. And of course it is. It's like some of the crookest stuff you can imagine. But also just how fucking bad it was.
Yeah.
Like, it's so lazy. It was just a bunch of people with no charisma just fucking about for an hour. It's like podcast before podcast.
Yeah, they crawled so we...
Yeah, honestly, like, there were just... Like, 90% of what people are saying is, all right, what's next? So what are we doing next? Like, it's just... I genuinely think that the only thing that would appeal to people about that show was how offensive it was, because there's nothing else there. It's really amazing.
Have you I assume you've seen the movie Walk Hard, the Dewey Cox story?
I have, yes.
You know when that gets to the stage where it's like the 70s and his like Johnny Cash stand-in character has fallen on hard times and he's doing like variety shows.
I did only see this movie once at the cinemas.
So yeah, there's like a whole stage of it where John C. Reilly's character kind of an amalgamation of Elvis and Johnny Cash and all that sort of stuff.
There's a bit of Ray Charles in there, if I remember right.
Yeah. And he he's in the sort of 70s, and he's doing like variety shows, and they have disco versions of his like old hit songs and everything. Like that was a very distinct period in like American television.
Sure.
Was that kind of like, we're doing variety shows, yes. We're doing all those sorts of things.
They had like laughing and stuff, like those kind of shows. Is what you mean?
And also, I guess, just generally that kind of like just a talk show.
Sure.
We have people on and we're having fun and there will be a musical number and that sort of stuff.
Yeah.
And I think that like Hey Hey It's Saturday was sort of roughly analogous to that sort of thing, but also... You could look at that stage in American TV and say, okay, it's pretty clearly defined, and then they like moved on to making other stuff.
Yeah.
Whereas I really feel like Australian TV, and you can see how this has sort of gone with like particularly non-pay TV in Australia. Yes. Just like there was, I don't know, a limited enough number of channels that there just sort of wasn't any pressure to move any further with a lot of things.
Well, that's the thing. Like, that's why, like, most people who made TV in the golden age, like the 80s and 90s when there was just, like, so much fucking money, the reason those people can't make TV anymore, my theory is that they made TV when it was literally like, you can watch what I'm making right now, or like two other things, or you can talk to your shitty kids. Like that was honestly, it was so fucking easy to make TV that people watch because they didn't have any options. And so when they're like, oh, I can't make anything now, it's because, yeah, man, you never got good at this because you never had to. That is my theory.
Yep. No, 100%. Like if you went back and watched Fast Forward or Full Frontal or what have you, which is like a cornerstone of Australian comedy and I think like what a lot of us kind of grew up on, that's probably a good 70% of that is bad.
Yeah. I will say maybe the exception to this is The Late Show, but then again, I am only remembering fondly the incredible bits.
Mm. It's
also The Late Show had a beloved segment where it was just Mick and Tony out on the street being rude to people. Like that was honestly the whole thing. So that wasn't like a lot of effort.
It's fucking wild to consider that Hey Hey It's Saturday, its initial run was 28 years.
What?
20? That cannot
be accurate.
Are you serious? It ran on the Nine Network from the 9th of October, 1971.
What? No.
The fuck are you talking about?
Until the 20th of November, 1999.
That is impossible.
There was a recess in 1978. There were 29 seasons of Hey Hey It's Saturday.
All hosted by Daryl Summer?
There are over 500 episodes of Hey Hey It's Saturday.
That is...
So, has Daryl Summers been the host the whole time? Because he must be...
He was the host from the 1971 premiere onwards.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I'm looking at this now. Because in 78, he had the Daryl... These people were so young. You just got a TV show then. He was 20. He was 20 years old.
I assumed that Hey Hey It's Saturday came on the air when I was just old enough to perceive things.
Yeah.
And then it ended at some point. Yeah.
Oh, my God. How about that?
Well, it started off as a children's Saturday morning cartoon show. And then it merged into a live show.
That is...
I can see how that happens. People love it when, like... People love it when children's characters do a swear or they're naughty. Like all the blooper videos for Aggro.
Yeah.
Where Aggro's just like... You know, being sexually inappropriate to the other host, but it's okay because there's a puppet.
Do you remember when Aggro joined One Nation? That was a weird simulation breaking down moment. Aggro.
Hey, do you remember when Pluck-A-Duck joined Islamic State? What the fuck are you talking about?
No, Aggro joined One Nation. He did. I swear, I'm not making this up. Fuck, maybe I am. I remember. I have this really distinct memory of Aggro in a One Nation shirt handing out how to vote. So maybe I'm just tired.
You guys remember when Big Bird joined the Ayatollah?
I'm looking this up. Although Aggro One Nation.
I'm also looking at it right now. And I'm trying to... Aggro's creator, Jamie Dunn, told Huffington Post Australia that the photo was taken several months ago and that Aggro is definitely not a One Nation supporter.
There you go, guys. I've got a photo. It's Aggro in a hat. It was written up by a friend of the podcast, I think, Josh Butler. And that's the news. Oh, yeah, right. Okay. Does he say why he was doing that?
Well, it wasn't him. It was somebody else had a puppet. Somebody else had a puppet and posted it.
Okay.
Whereas was he the puppeteer?
Can I just say, Jamie Dunn was a puppeteer. Can I just say that one of the things that people often complain about Free to a Good Home, which is me and Michael Hing's podcast, is that we talk a lot about aggro and aggro's cartoon connection. So I'm really glad that I've infected this nice podcast with that.
That's fine. Yeah, feel free, if you are not an Australian listener, to look up like Hey Hey It's Saturday aggro, possibly aggro's cartoon connection.
Yeah.
Or like Dicky Knee. Feel free to look up Dicky Knee, and then you can see a fun kids puppet just say like, "Oh, can I have a look at your pussy?" to female really guests on the show.
It really was single entendre.
Hey, Kamal, you slur.
Yeah.
It's absolutely fucking wild how long a show so devoid of charisma and anything to say, and mostly hosted by literal puppets.
Because I get the Graham Kennedy stuff, right? Like, the industry's too obsessed with him. Graham Kennedy, for international listeners, was like our kind of, I don't know, like Johnny Carson or whatever. There is like a mischief and a kind of sense of like chaos to him that's like really enjoyable to watch. If you go back and watch his old stuff, like when he was like doing TV in like the 50s or whatever, it's quite joyful.
Well, he's also got extreme like Rodney Dangerfield energy as far as like how he looks. So it wasn't just a good looking guy who stumbled onto TV. Yeah.
No, he's kind of an odd looking bloke who like was, I think, a drunk, and it kind of comes through. It's just really fun. One of his like early, like I was watching an episode because we're making something at the moment on SBS that's kind of meant to be an old show like this, and so I've been watching a lot of Graham Kennedy lately, and he had a great joke, which was like, whenever I see something that's funny that's like earlier than like 1980, I'm always amazed. But like he starts the show and he's like, ladies and gentlemen, thanks for joining us. We just had a bomb threat called in, but thankfully it was a false alarm. And then he just explodes. It's so good. It's really good. Comes out with a suit that's all tattered and he's smoking and it's great.
Wonderful. Well, Lucy has had to abandon us, I assume, to go and tend to Mother's Day celebrations. And I think we're all going to have to do the same.
Yeah, I got to go. This is really bad, but I got to go and buy my mother a Mother's Day present because I was born. I've got two Mother's Days to tend to now.
That's true.
Nobody tells you this when you have a child.
I think my mother's out there waiting right now. So,
well, you guys have a lovely Mother's Day, and as Roe McManus would say hi to your mums for me.
Oh fuck,
he would say that, and I'm going to say that in a nice way.
So Ben, thank you for joining us. Thank you for auditioning. Thank you for appearing on The Benchler.
Not at all.
And hit people again. Where can they find more of you?
Oh yeah, well, like I say, Free to a Good Home is a podcast that you can find. It's me and Hing, Michael Hing, going through odd classifieds that we find on Gumtree and elsewhere on the internet. It's been going for a while now, so we've sort of broadened our purview to just text. That we just find text on the internet and read it out.
What's the schedule like for that?
It's becoming troublingly regular. We put one out probably every 2 weeks now. Partly because I made a deal with our Patreon people that if we don't put at least two episodes out, we will just not charge them. So there's a good incentive there. But also, I do Dragon Friends, which is a Dungeons and Dragons comedy podcast. And we're doing a show, if you're in Sydney, we're doing a show at the Comedy Store on Wednesday night. If you thought comedy Dungeons and Dragons, that doesn't sound lame enough. Well, guess what? This one is Star Wars themed, this particular episode. We're doing a one-off. It's a special one-shot. We've got legitimate stage and screen actor Toby Schmitz joining us on stage, which is very exciting. And we're going to be doing a Star Wars-themed Dragon Friends at the Comedy Store this Wednesday.
Wonderful. All right.
Yeah.
We'll check that out, everybody. And thank
you. I'd like to also give a plug to the mothers of the world.
Oh, you can't plug them all. That's some MILF Hunter stuff right there. But we respect it. Thank you again, Ben.
No, thank you very much for having me, guys.
And thanks,
everybody.
Always
a pleasure.
We'll see you later. Bye.
Bye.
Cheers.